1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's read together now, please. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, Father, we come this morning in prayer and ask that you would fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be more thankful in our lives, be a thankful people. And Father, this will be accomplished if the Holy Spirit works through his life and in ours. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be filled with you, to hear what you have for us individually this morning. And Father, I ask if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they would settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, again, we'll ask that you make sure your electronic devices are turned off or at least to vibrate so they won't go off during the service. Also, now look at me, church, for a moment. Don't get up and move around for these next few moments. Sunday morning messages are very brief. So if you step out, you'll miss something. So just sit real still and listen for a few moments. Now, today is, this Sunday is installment number 2 in our Thanksgiving messages. Being thankful. Being thankful is not a season. It's not even an event. It's something that's supposed to be a regular part of our lives. Now, this verse we read this morning here is a very familiar verse. Again, if you'll notice it carefully, please, it reminds us about this principle of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Stop on that moment. In everything, give thanks. Consider that. In everything, give thanks. Everything in our lives, about our lives, that comes to our lives. In everything, give thanks. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things. Now then, if we took time this morning, now look at me, please. If we took time this morning and we started listing the things for which you are thankful, I'm going to give you something today that you probably never considered a part of being thankful for, though. See, now here's the thought. It's really deep. Everything. I'm to be thankful for everything in life. You ever just kind of make a list of the things for which you are thankful? By the way, your list and its order of priority says a lot about you and what you're really thankful for. That's not the message this morning. But here it is today. Listen. Do you ever thank him for what didn't happen? It's a different kind of thanksgiving, but have you ever done that? Have you ever thanked him for what didn't happen in your life? What didn't take place? See, that's part of everything. Now, we think of what does happen. Good, bad, bittersweet, high, low, all of that. You say, well, I know, Pastor, you're going to talk to us again about how that no matter what it is, we need to be thankful in our lives. Well, that's also true, by the way, but kind of covered that a little bit last week, and I know you remember everything from last week. I couldn't tell you what I preached last week, okay? Let's just be careful about that. But listen now carefully. But you ever get home, like you take a trip, for instance. You go somewhere. You get home. Do you ever thank God you didn't get in an accident? You go through the day. You ever stop and think, well, you know, it wasn't a really good day. But do you ever stop and think, but there was a lot that didn't happen today. That's a part of Thanksgiving, too. That's a part of being thankful. Thankful for what didn't happen in our lives. They say, well, Pastor, I got enough to think about without being considering what didn't happen. But you should. How many more times do we have to see things splashed across the front pages of our news reports of the disasters and the catastrophes that take place in this world that didn't happen here? Didn't take place in us. Didn't touch our nation like France has been touched. Nobody's driving tanks up and down our streets. Our children are not hiding in grovels somewhere. They're not living, look at me, they're not living in little stretched out plastic tents where some of these refugees over in the Middle East, they've been there almost 7 years now. Say, oh, okay, well, I know. But no, not okay. Think about it this morning. What you ought to be thankful for that didn't happen. Okay, here's one. This should be the top of your list. Not one child of God lost their salvation this year. Not one. Hey, but we deserved it. I'm sorry. Let me help myself right here this morning. You sit right there and go to sleep. Let me hold on a second. I said, but we deserved it. Oh, yeah, preacher. Oh, yeah. Park on that one for a minute. Put a dime in the meter and pull over and park on the fact that I deserved to lose my salvation this year. I know I did. So all these people behind me over here too. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, nobody in this room lived perfectly this year. Nobody in this room did everything they were supposed to do. Nobody in this room crossed every doctrinal T and dotted every doctrinal I. Nobody in this room got to this point of 2015 without knowing that there were times you doubted God, and there was times you didn't believe things, there was times you said something you shouldn't have said or done something you shouldn't have done. Not one of us. And the truth of the matter is, if you are a child of God, it never even affected for a moment the fact that you are a child of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5 says, who are kept by the power of God. Our salvation is secured by the God who gave it to us. That song we sang a little bit ago about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, grace that not only provides you with salvation, grace that gives you the opportunity of salvation, grace that provided the gift of God through Jesus Christ to purchase salvation for you, all of grace, all of God, all of a gift, cost you nothing. That same grace that provided us salvation, brought it to us, gave it to us, give us the opportunity of it. Many of us never even, we turned down Jesus so many times in our lives before we came to Christ, and that was grace. My friend, same grace that saves is the same grace that secures. See, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I got saved more than once this year. No, you didn't. In fact, now listen to this preacher this morning. In fact, if that's you, chances are you didn't get saved at all this year. People who keep asking Jesus to save them, not always now, but vast majority of them have been taught, if you don't live it, you lose it. If my life isn't right, then I give up the grace of God. I walk away from it, and I've lost my salvation. See, they've been taught just by that statement that salvation is by works. And you have to get it by grace, and you have to work on it by your efforts. That is not salvation. Biblical salvation is saved and secured because we don't deserve it. Look here, friend, God promises, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified is a legal term that means God declares us as not guilty in His sight when by faith we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there's no place in the Bible where God convicts and condemns a sinner for the same forgiven sin. No place. Forgiven, forgotten, removed. And when God saves you, He secures you. It is God's securing hand that keeps us saved. Because I didn't deserve that this year. Oh no, there is no way. Look at me, I've been to Walmart. I said, I have not deserved salvation. No way. I drive on the roads, ladies and gentlemen. And unfortunately, some people drive beside me. But the truth of the matter is, Oh, no. There were times when standing in line in a public retail establishment, somebody has tested my salvation. 20 items or less. And then you look at their cart. They got two carts and three kids holding stuff, standing in front of you, full. All I want is a chunk of bologna and get out of this place. That's all I want. No, they got to buy everything on the place. They even put those little bitty counters up there to show people, this is not the big one, this is the little one. Put a few items up there, buy them, and get your carcass out of the cotton-picking store. But no, they got to get in front of me and do that. They can't go to another one. They got 52 aisles down there, and they got 20 item or less aisles. Do they go over there? No, they happen to get in the one that's in front of me. And then they put it up there, and then they don't have enough money to pay for it. And then they got to put half of it back. And then they got to go through and argue over what item they want, and they don't. I said I didn't deserve it. And I'm standing there thinking, I'm going to hit them with this chunk of bologna if they don't get out of the cotton picking way. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? There wasn't a saving, securing, sealing hand of God on my salvation. Oh, I would have got. And don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You do too know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, good. And I just want to make sure I'm not a bunch of sanctimonious Baptists who don't think that they have tested their salvation. You've tested it, but here's the thing. Salvation that's not yours, you can't lose because it's not yours to begin with. But salvation that is yours, you know, people say, do you believe you can lose your salvation? My answer is yes. You can lose your salvation. You can't lose the one God gives you. Because it's not yours to begin with. Because it is all of God. It's all of grace. It's all of a gift. And the God who gave it to you and you didn't deserve it is the God who keeps it because you didn't deserve it. He secures us for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ever-living Savior who makes intercession. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost, seeing He, Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were going into the Promised Land, God had them set aside cities of refuge. So when someone was committed a crime, but they were innocent, I don't know how you can do that. Something happened. It was always about murder. Two guys are working in the field, no one's around, something happens, the guy dies. Well, the family would revenge the blood, so he could flee to the city of refuge for protection, the innocent man. Now, he couldn't go there if he wasn't innocent. They found that he wasn't, they try him, they find he wasn't innocent, they take him out and kill him anyhow. But he would find to the city of refuge, he could find security and safety, and he could stay there safe and secure, the Bible says, as long as the high priest lived. When the high priest died, then he could either go home or their guilt was removed. Jesus is our high priest. Our salvation is the city of refuge. As long as Jesus lives, your salvation is secure. So he's never going to die. Uh-huh. Oh, we tested the grace of God this year. Yes, we did. There were times we were not obedient. True? Okay, just making sure we still got real people in this room. That's true. And it never affected your salvation. See, okay, I got the theological. No, you don't need theology on that one. You need some good thinkology on that. You need to stop and think about it. You go to the end of your day, you pillow your head, look back over that day, and think for a moment. Nothing I did today changed my standing with God. Nothing. My sonship, my relationship with the Lord is just as secure at the end of my day as it was at the start of my day. And it will be, it will be that way forever. You know what else we ought to be thankful for? It didn't happen. We didn't get what we deserved this year. It was a watch night service. I don't remember how long ago it was now. But it was one of those services. You go to a watch night service where you stay up till midnight, then you pray together and everybody goes home and almost killed by the drunks. But anyway, so we're having a watch night service. We're coming up on midnight. Pastor said, everybody come to the altar. Let's pray the new year in. Now, I was fairly new to church again at the time, and I came down and knelt at the altar. There was a good man kneeling next to me, and he began to pray. And, oh, Father, thank you for your goodness this year and your blessings, and help us this next year. And, Lord, give us what we deserve. Now, I wasn't real smart, but I thought, oh, no. We're on our knees, and I just began to. I looked around, and everybody else was kind of getting away from the guy, too. And they were thinking, oh, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Lord, don't give us what we deserve, please. No. See that same stuff that tested your salvation? Now, we know the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Good lesson on this past Wednesday night, by the way. That shall we also reap. We know you're going to reap what you sow. We know that, right? But we also know there are times when the mercy of God prevented the harvest from some of the actions in our life. I heard a preacher say one time, you're going to sow your wild oats, you better pray for a crop failure. See, the same thing that caused me to know I tested my salvation also caused me to remember that I tested the mercy of God, and His mercies are new every morning. Please don't take that as a license to do wrong. Well, I got away with it once, I'll do it again. No, I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't recommend messing with the mercy of God. Highly wouldn't recommend that you take advantage of the mercy of God, nor take it for granted. Lord, give us what we deserve. I've never prayed that. I've always prayed, Lord, thank you for not giving me what I deserve. You ever embarrass yourself? Huh? I mean, just flat embarrass yourself. Now, I try really hard not to do that here in town. Because there's nothing as embarrassing as seeing a preacher lose it. When I get to that point, and this will shock you, I do have a bit of a trouble with my temper. I know you're shocked. I see that look on your face. And when somebody pushes my buttons, do you know what pushing the buttons is referring to? Do you know what I'm talking about? Those people that got up in the morning and the devil went to him and said, find Mike Johnson, push his buttons. People with no social skills. People with no concern about anything in life but themselves. That's all. Who happen to be sitting in a booth next to you while you're about to cut into a nice, juicy steak. Haven't even got a bite in yet. And they get on their phone. And they're deef. Deef is a post. And they proceed to have a worthless conversation. See, how do you know it's worthless? Because I can hear them. Or an argument, and I'm about to cut into a nice cut of beef. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, what's the penalty for a steak knife in the neck? Maybe if I grab their phone, throw it all the way across the restaurant against the wall, and while they go get it, I can get the steak down before they come back. See, you don't think like that. I do. You ever lose patience with people? I'm not going to go through the whole list. Just stay with me a moment. Don't pray for patience. Remember, Romans 5 says, tribulation worketh patience. That means the more patience you pray for, the more trouble you're going to have in life. Pray for grace. But the truth of the matter is, we get to that place where we're becoming very impatient with people. And the truth is, we don't get what we deserve. We should. We will reap what we sow, but many times God's mercy has stopped the harvest. And what He did that for was to give you a chance to get it right. Now you look at me. That is not an excuse to do wrong. It is not God's agreement for you to continue to live in sin because you didn't get nailed for something that you did. He's given you a chance to get it right. And it's mercy that's covering us. You know, mercy and grace in the Bible, they're very similar words. Grace means I get what I don't deserve. Grace means I get what God's unmerited favor provides me. Mercy means I don't get what God should do to me. And it covers the whole thing. But it's mercy. And so I didn't get, no, I did not get what I deserved this year. I got better than I deserved. I got more than I deserved. By the way, if that's how you look at life and things in life, you'll realize that the blessings of God are much sweeter. You ever been blessed and you didn't even ask for it? Blessing just came your way and you thought, well, I didn't even ask for that. See, we grab and run off with it when we should stop and think, I didn't even deserve that. I didn't even ask for that. And God blessed me. I'll tell you what didn't happen to us this year we ought to be thankful for. We did not lose our freedoms as Americans. Yes, they are eroding. And more our freedoms are being taken from us. And not because we don't have a choice, because we don't do anything about it. Hey, listen to me, though. We still have a Bible. We still have a church. We still have freedoms in this country. Look at me. We have freedoms in this country no other nation on this earth has. Absolutely none. You know, these nations like France and Germany, Britain, these nations, they declare themselves to be as free as America. They're not. They're absolutely not. There is no nation like this nation. None. We got problems, we got issues, and God help us, we got an election coming. But the truth of the matter is, there's stuff, listen, we still have a great country here. We still, I'm sorry, does that get past you? I said, we still have a great country here. We still live in a great nation. We still have freedoms that most of the world has no idea they understand today. None whatsoever. Yes, they're not even just trickling away anymore. It seems like there is a hole ripped in the bag of liberty and it's just pouring out nowadays. But we still have our freedoms. We still have our Bible. We still have our church. We can still speak our peace, even though the media won't like it. We can still do what we want to do. And yes, we still have our guns, and that's a good thing too, by the way. The truth, I said, we still have our guns, and that's a good thing too, by the way. See, the truth, I don't like that kind of stuff. Well, then you give up yours. I'll take it and shoot somebody with it. The truth of the matter is, I won't do that unless they break in my house. The truth of the matter is, folks, we have freedom. We have liberties that are still amazing on this earth. I've been to these countries before. Developed nations that consider themselves a democratic form of government. We're a republic, but a democratic form of government. I'll tell you something, there's nothing like America. Nothing. I'm so glad when that plane touches down on this mortal soil right here, this earth that we have, this piece of God's earth. I'm very thankful for it. You know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do what we do. I see some dark clouds on the horizon of our freedoms that just not only trouble me, but they trouble me for my children and my grandchildren, especially for my grandchildren. Read something the other day about how a man asked a fellow one day, he said, do you know how to catch wild pigs? He said, no. He said, it's really simple. You throw out some corn, food, whatever. They'll come and eat it. You keep feeding them, they'll keep eating it. Then you just put up one section of fence, that's all, by the corn. Then after a while, you just keep feeding them, they'll keep coming. Then you put up another section of fence and join that. You keep doing that while you put the food out. They'll keep coming for the food until you build a hold for them. And you put a gate in front of where they come in. But you keep feeding them, they'll keep coming in. He said, and eventually what you do is you feed them, they'll come in, you shut the gate, you got them caught. Because he said, the truth is, pigs don't care about what they get as long as you keep giving them what they want. You know who said that? A young man who escaped the horrors of communism in his country and was shot in the back trying to run away. He said, that's what we were in our nation, just pigs. And the government gave us everything we wanted until our freedoms were gone. I still think there are enough people in America with sense to keep that from happening, but I think we're losing ground, don't you? Oh, but America is still free. You know what didn't happen this year? We didn't see our church close its doors. 47 churches closed their doors every week in America and have for over 10 years now. 47 churches, almost 7 a day, closed their doors in this country. Churches don't have a right to exist. You do understand that, don't you? Divine perpetuity of the local New Testament church under the authority of Jesus Christ and His Word does have a guarantee. But that's as long as they stay under the authority of Jesus Christ and this book and do what the Bible says they're supposed to do. This past week with our teen revival, the Lord blessed once again. You know, that's a lot of effort and work. I saw people who worked all day at their job then came over here and worked at night with these young people. And we saw a good number of young people saved, and God did another great work again. 12 years now we've been doing that. But you know something? Every week this church runs buses. We go to house and door to door in the rescue mission, the jails, the hospitals. We do the work of a church. That's what guarantees us to exist. Not a bunch of people sitting around in chairs getting out of the rain. Having the fellowship of the brethren. It's a church doing its work. And God was favorable to us this year. And one more thing, by the way. You know what didn't happen this year? This is going to sound strange, but stay with me. The rest of the sermon was weird anyhow. You ever thank God for prayer He didn't answer? You know, you prayed for a job and you didn't get one. You prayed for health and you still were sick. You prayed for God to heal one of your loved ones and they went to heaven. So why would I want to thank Him for unanswered prayer, Pastor Johnson? It's very simple. Haven't you ever experienced something in life But later on you found out that was actually a blessing and I didn't see it. You know, you thank God then for what you didn't thank God for now. But later on you thought, you know what? I prayed for this and God didn't give it to me, but he provided something else down the road. Oh, unanswered prayer. That's a reason for thankfulness. There are times we ask God for things and in his wisdom and his mercy and his grace, he knows that no is a better answer than yes. Anyone ever tells you you can always get your prayers answered wrong. Because sometimes God's no is better than God's yes. You ever thank him for unanswered prayer? Well, at the time you thought, well, this is essential. I've got to have this. But he didn't provide it. And later on you found out, oh, his perspective on the no was better than my on the yes. And God provided that. Well, there have been times I thank God later on for something I didn't thank him for at the time. But you know, a little time and a little wisdom, I find that God has a perspective on things we don't have. He sees things that we don't see. He understands things. His ways are high above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. And when we go to God, if we ask him for something and he doesn't do it the way we want, when we want, how we want, we think there's something wrong with God. No, there's something wrong with your praying. Everything should be submitted to the will of God. Everything should be submitted to his will and his way. God knows what he's doing. I know it doesn't look like that at times. I know we scratch our heads and we worry and we fear about things. And we think to ourselves, I don't understand why he didn't just do this. This is needed. This is necessary. It must have been, should have been at that time. Sometimes his answer is no. So that later on you find out his answer was no for a good reason. Every parent has been there before. Your kids asked for something, and you said no. They looked at you and thought, what is wrong with you? Why don't you give me what I asked for? See, your perspective and your wisdom knows better the timing of things, yes? Is he not a better heavenly father than we are earthly fathers? Is he not a better heavenly parent than we are earthly parents? Well, of course he is. There have been times in anger and frustration I asked God to do something. I'm glad he didn't. You know, that revenge thing. Get him, God. Get him for it. I'm glad he didn't. There have been times when my program didn't match his, so he just said no and then trusted me enough to wait because he had made everything beautiful in his time. See, if we stop to think about it, not only are there a lot of things that happen in our lives for which we should be thankful, that's like everything, because that's what the Bible says, but there are things that didn't happen. And we ought to remind ourselves, you know, there are things that didn't happen in my life, and I'm thankful for those too. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.